I've got a couple of things I want to read here. This one here I know that I've read before, but I think of how true some of these things are, and sometimes we have something that we don't realize we have, and oftentimes we never find out we've even got it. But here's a little story, and I got no idea when I cut it out nor where I got it from. I imagine probably Shirley found it for me sometime and gave it to me. And this here is, in the early years of the 19th century, there was a poor farmer in eastern Pennsylvania who eked out a bare existence for himself and his family on his tiny farm. After years of weary toil and discouraging poverty, the man died, and his son inherited the farm. For some years, the son continued as the father had done, digging out a meager living from the rocky little farm. But one day a stranger appeared and told him that underneath the farm was a rich vein of coal. The farm was sold, and the man, who like his father before him had lived in dire poverty, became a wealthy man. Both father and son had owned a hidden wealth, but never had possessed it. And this is the same as people that have the scripture. If they don't use it, it's not going to do them much good. But if we put it to use, it can be a great wealth to us. And I want to read a little card here. This I picked up when I was at the safety convention in Chicago several years back. And this, again, is it says the story of a magic charm for success. Well, we know there's no such thing as a magic charm. But this man will find out that there also isn't any. A farmer once asked a wise man to help him improve his unprofitable farm. The wise man wrote a charm and placed it in a box and sealed the box, which he gave to the farmer. Carry this box to every part of your farm 3 times a day for a year, he told him. The farmer did so. In the morning he carried it into the field and found his hired man asleep instead of working. At noon he carried it into the barn and found the cows deep in filth and the horses unfed. That night he carried it into the kitchen and found the cook wasting food. Every day, as he took the box from place to place, he found things to correct. At the end of the year, he turned to the wise man. "Let me keep the magic charm another year," he begged. "My farm has been 100 times more successful this year than ever before." The wise man smiled and took the box. "I'll give you the charm itself," he said. He broke the seal, lifted out the piece of paper, and handed it to the farmer. On it was written, "If you want things to prosper, look after them constantly yourself." And how true this is. If we want to prosper in the gospel, we have got to look after ourselves. And no matter what we do, if we don't look after these things, they're not going to be successful, and they're not going to prosper. But if we endeavor to keep the commandments, search the scripture, then we can expect to benefit from the promises that's told herein. On the back of this, there's a little thing. It says, "Remember, our attitude determine our habits. Our habits determine our character. Our character determine where we are going in life." And this is very true. We've got to have a good attitude. We've got to have good habits and a good character. All these things are good. And I think probably most of us have a lot of good habits. I think probably most people brush their teeth, and that's a habit. You didn't learn to do that in the first few years without somebody teaching you, and then you've done it forever and ever. I know Jennifer. We get her ready for bed when she was 3 years old. She said she hadn't brushed her teeth yet. And she hustled around and somebody's got to help her brush her teeth. Well, this is a good habit to get into. But you've got to work at these habits. I remember when I was a small boy, I would venture to say that 60 years ago, less than half of the people under 10 years old owned a toothbrush. But it's pretty common today. When kids get big enough to get around, they start teaching them these things. And it is good habit. But we've got a lot of other things we've got to work at, too. And do we have a habit of praying? How many times... when our kids were home, when we'd have family prayer, we'd gather around and have a prayer. And if you let it slip a little bit, that habit was lost. If you don't practice at it, the habit disappears. A habit of going to church. A habit of studying. We've got to kind of develop a habit of these things. It's awfully easy to say, well, I'm a little tired this evening. I don't believe I'll read the scripture and sit back and not do it. Probably I'm more guilty of this than Bernard anyone. But these are habits we've got to develop. And if we work on these things, we can help ourselves continually. And I often think of the little story, and I've probably told it here before, but the story of the little boy that was in the living room playing with the Bible. And his mothers came in and said, oh, be careful that book, son. That belongs to God. He says, well, why don't we send it back? We never use it. And that happens a lot of places. I'll bet that there's a lot of homes that have Bibles that don't get opened every 6 months. Some of them have got them there and they're in the bookcase and probably haven't been out in 2 years. And I often think of the statement that was made by, I forget who it was now, but it was in the Army, and they said, at any rate, the people that they had the least problems with marijuana or drinking or dope, they said that they checked them all out, and it said that the children or the young men that had been taken to church at least 50 times before they went into the service, they had the least problems with. Taken to church at least 50 times. Why, John, there, and I'll bet he's been to church here 50 times this year. How many hundred times do you suppose these children have been to church in their lives? And they're not 3 or 4 years old, or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. They get to go to church many, many times every year. And this is a habit that helps them, and they don't have as many problems through life. Well, I want to read a few verses here over here in Acts. And this is a story I kind of like, and I've read it several times to you, and I hope that you'll bear with me another time here. And this is in the 16th chapter, I'm going to read about Paul and Silas and a few of the things that happened to them, and beginning with the 14th verse. And a certain woman named Lydia, the seller of purple, in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now she paid a little bit of attention. What went and happened then? After she paid attention, that's what we get to do now. We can read these books and find out what happened. And when she had paid attention to these which Paul had spoken, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us, so they stayed there with her. But notice here, when she was baptized and her household, all the people decided that this was a good idea. We'll find this happened a little later in this reading too. And it came to pass, as they went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Not a very good thing, is it? But she was able to do this. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now here this lady was possessed with this spirit, but yet she knew who these men were and what powers that they had. She knew that they were men of God. And this did she many days. Now this didn't happen once, but many days she followed along. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Now, what a marvelous thing this was. But we'll find out that it had quite a few consequences. And when her master saw that their hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Now these men were able to tell things were going to happen through this woman's evil spirit. And they didn't like it very well when Paul caused this to depart from her. Now can you imagine if a person was like that today, what they could do in the stock market? I wonder, maybe sometimes we haven't got some in there. I don't know. But surely, this woman had a power. And now when people think that it isn't a great power, you're wrong. It is a great and powerful power. It's not to be desired, and it's not to be wanted. But it is pretty forceful. But Paul was able to bring it out of her. And the rulers were pretty unhappy. And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Now that's pretty serious. They rent off their clothes. Now they didn't ask them to take them off; they rent them off. Now, if somebody starts taking your clothes literally off, it was a pretty forceful thing, not too funny. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now that's pretty secure, isn't it? They put them in the inner prison, probably several doors back, an inner cell, and then put their feet in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now this was quite something. These men had been beaten on the back with probably a whip. And yet that evening they prayed and sang praises to God. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands was loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" Now, I think probably he must have had some background in the gospel, and he must have had a little knowledge of who these men were. When he seen this happen, he was afraid. And I expect any time that you are where the power of the Lord is, that it could be a frightening thing if you weren't a pretty righteous person. And he knew he had been commanded to keep these people locked up by his superiors, but yet he knew probably a little of the gospel, and this worried him somewhat. And they said, and he wanted to know what to do to be saved here. And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Now, we know many people will stop right here, but having these two books and searching them just a little bit, we know there's a little more to be done. And they spoke unto them the word of the Lord. Now, after he told them what they needed to do, to believe on the Lord, he spoke of the words of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. All the people were spoken to. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Here this man took and washed their stripes and attended to them and was baptized, he and all his straightway. All of his house were baptized. They were fulfilling the things that the Lord intended for it to be fulfilled, the same as we must do today, to search these scriptures to know what to do. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. That's a pretty nice thing, isn't it? All of his house believed. The same as this lady up here. She knew and she believed and she was baptized in all of her household. And it's a wonderful thing that they could do that. Now I want to read another familiar scripture, one that I believe that this might have been read to us two or three times here, maybe once or twice already this year. But I think it's still pretty good. And it's in John, the third chapter, and I'm going to begin with the 14th verse here because I kind of like this part of it too. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much the Son of Man be lifted, must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is a promise, and this is good for everybody in the world, but you can't stop right there. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that he would through him, that the world through him might be saved. And we know, as it was over here when Paul and Silas preached to these people, there's something more to do than just to believe. They were baptized, the same as it must be here. They must be baptized, and then they must continue in the ways of righteousness throughout their lives. Now I want to go back quite a ways into the scripture here in Deuteronomy. And again, here they're being spoken to and told what to do. And we've got them here to read, to know what we should do. In the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, I'm going to begin with the first verse. And now these are the commandments and statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and his commandments which he commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And here is a commandment. All of us know it, and we've heard it many times. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now see where they're going to be. They're going to be in your heart. That's where it's got to be. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou settest in thine house. This is important, isn't it? That we discuss them in our houses. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We've got to keep the Lord's work and words in our mind all the time. We can't be preaching all the time because we may have to be digging a ditch, or we may have to be putting a roof on, or we may have to do many other things. But in the back of our minds, the foremost thing is that we are keeping the commandments and doing the will of the Lord. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be the frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when thy Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, and vineyards, and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now when they've had all these wonderful things, they've got to be careful lest they start to forget. Now, I think that there will be some time in the future that the Lord is going to bless these people again, that he's going to have to protect them. We're going to have to turn to the Lord someday, though, those that are righteous, and they're going to have to put their trust so completely in him that he will be able to protect his people and care for them. And I will assure you that he can do it. But I think sometimes of people that do prosper, and I think that we've seen a few people that we know of, maybe in the church, and maybe some fairly righteous people that go to other churches, that all of a sudden that they start to prosper. Maybe they've been terribly poor for a time. All of a sudden they start to prosper. And it's easy then to start to forget the commandments of the Lord. They forget to tend to the things that the Lord would have them to tend to. They forget to be a meek and a lowly people, and they begin to be lifted up. The same as it says here, beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. When they brought out, sometimes they start to forget. And we know that this happened several times in the Book of Mormon and in the Bible, that they begin to forget. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Now the Lord has done that a few times. People that didn't keep his commandments, didn't walk uprightly before him, that had been protected and watched over, and all of a sudden he will destroy them. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. Now, these people have been commanded a lot of things, and they knew what to do. The same as today, we know a lot of the commandments of God, and I think we do our best most of the time to keep them. Some people don't search the scriptures, or they don't know what to search for or to do. They don't know that they've got to repent and be baptized. We do know that. And most people of the proper age have been baptized, and they have had the laying on of hands and so on. We have found this out through the scripture, and so we follow after these things. The same as these people were commanded to do certain things. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thy enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. Now we know these things were done, and we know that he can do them again to the people that have kept the commandments and sought him out. But if we don't seek to keep those commandments, we can't expect him to do a whole lot toward protecting us or watching over us. I want to go over here in the next chapter, just a couple of three verses here, in the seventh chapter, and it's beginning with the sixth verse. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him, unto himself, above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, we know that he chose the Israelites as they came out, and he blessed them and watched over them. But he will do the same thing today for his people, the same as he did then. The Lord did set his love upon you. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, of the bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It was because he loved them. And he loves us the same as he did those people. And if there's any question, we know we can become Israel by adoption, if that is any problem. But we know if we keep those commandments, it's not going to be very long until he hears us. But we do have to take these books and search them out and put them to good use. I want to read a little bit out of Messiah in the first chapter. This is on page 207. Now I believe I'll begin with the first verse here. And now there was no more contention in all the land of Zarahemla among all the people who belonged to King Benjamin, so that King Benjamin had continual peace all the remainder of his days. What a wonderful thing. And it came to pass that he had three sons, and he called their names Mosiah, Hiram, and Helaman. And he caused that they should be taught in all the language of his fathers. Now that's the thing, isn't it? Now that's what we have got to have. We've got to teach our children, and we've got to teach each other and those round about us as best we can. But this is what he done. He taught these people, his sons, that thereby they might become men of understanding, and that they might know concerning the prophecies which had been spoken by the mouths of their fathers, which were delivered them by the hand of the Lord. And he also taught them concerning the record which were engraved on the plate of brass, saying, My sons, I would that ye should remember that were it not for these plates, which contain these records and these commandments, ye must have suffered in ignorance, even at this present time, not knowing the mysteries of God." He was aware of the importance of these plates. They was brass plates at that time. Here we have the printed book. All of us can have them very easily. For a few dollars you can buy either a Bible or a Book of Mormon. And if a person doesn't have the funds to buy them with, there's people that's willing to give them to you. But by having them, we know the mysteries of God. For it were not possible that our father Lehi could have remembered all these things to have taught them unto his children, except it were for the help of these plates. And we find people that do not have these, and how they have fallen astray and went the ways that they should not have gone. We can see what happened to the Indian people when they lost their records. For he, having been taught in the language of the Egyptians, therefore he could read these engravings and teach them unto his children, that thereby they could teach them to their children, and so fulfill the commandments of God even down to this present time. The same as we're a little later than that here. This is 130 years before Christ. Here we are near 2,000 years. That's a little over 2,000 years ago. He was teaching them. We're doing the same thing today. "I say unto you, my sons, were it not for these things which have been kept and preserved by the hand of God, that we might read and understand of these mysteries and have his commandments always before our eyes, that even our fathers would have dwindled in unbelief. And we should have been like unto our brethren, the Lamanites, who do nothing concerning these things." Now, do we find a lot of people that way today? Here, those at that time, the record was amongst them. Some of them took advantage of them, some of them didn't. The same as we have today. See, the Lamanites, who knew nothing concerning these things, or even do not believe them when they are taught them, because of the traditions of their fathers, which was not correct. "O my sons, I would that ye should remember that these things are true, and also that these records are true." Now, how do we know the truth of them? We've got to search them out and prove them, haven't we? And we do that. We have study periods. We study at home. We have the gospel preached to us. And we discuss it among ourselves. So we know of these things, and they give us great strength. I want to go to Zephaniah for a few verses. This is one of those little books that hides pretty easy in your Bible, but it's there. I'm going to read out of the first chapter and beginning with the 8th verse. "And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel." Strange doctrine. He's going to punish them. "In the same day also will I punish all those who leap upon the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit." And we can surely see that happening today. I suppose there's new religions being born every day. Strange religions. Some of them we can't even believe that anybody would follow after them. We've seen this group that was up, I believe it was at Molina, and the things that they practice in the name of religion, I'm sure most of us know of them, And they would almost make you sick. Well, it would make you sick if we was around them. It terrible things that these people do. This isn't the only place that does these things. We find it, read about it every now and then in the paper. Someone professes Christianity and begins a church, and they practice some of the most hideous things in the world. And that's what he's talking about here. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be a noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. How ye inhabitants of Mekhtesh, for all the merchants, for all the merchant people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore, their goods shall become booty, and their houses shall be desolate. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteneth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Now here, the people that's going to build these houses aren't even going to be able to inhabit them. Yet over here, those that was righteous, the Lord provided for them, didn't he? But the people, we all have a great work to do before the Lord. And we have got to carry on daily to improve ourselves and try to carry this gospel to other people and pray that we might always be found faithful and before the Lord in his good grace. I want to turn to 4 Nephi. Now, most of us know exactly what I'm going to read here because, again, I think it's been read fairly recently. But it's a beautiful and sad time in just these few verses that I want to read. I'll begin with, in 4 Nephi, I'm going to begin with verse 17 here and read down through 21. Now we know this was after the time that Christ was here and established his gospel upon this land among the more righteous people that were saved. And they believed his words, and they sought to keep his commandments. And this is what happened when you get a group of people that does that. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land. How great that would be. Did you ever think of that? If there's just no contention, you wouldn't have to have a lot of money and stuff just to be happy if there was no contention around us. Because of the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there was no envyings, and no strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lying, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. Pretty wonderful, wouldn't it be? And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who have been created by the hand of God. There was no robbers, there was no murders, neither were there Lamanites, nor any manner of vice. But they were in one, the children of Christ. And heirs of the kingdom of God. What a wonderful thing that was. This happened in not too long a time after he had been here. The people really believed and sought out the right way. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings. Yea, Even they were blessed and prospered until 110 years had passed away, and the first generation from Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in all the land. What a wonderful time. But let's go over here just a little later, and we see that Satan can enter in if we don't remain strong. He's going to enter in, and he's going to deceive the people and deceive them, and he's going to lead them astray. Let's go over here to the 39th verse. And now it came to pass in this year, yea, in the 231st year, there was a great dissension among the people. Satan had entered in after having things nearly perfect as it could be on this earth, and he was able to come in and deceive these people and start leading them astray. That's hard to believe, isn't it? And it came to pass in this year there arose a people who were called the Nephites, and they were true believers in Christ. And among them there were those who were called the Lamanites, Jacobites and Josephites and Zoramites. Therefore, the true believers in Christ and the true worshipers of Christ, among whom were the three disciples of Jesus who should tarry, were called Nephites, Jacobites and Josephites and Zoramites. And it came to pass that they who rejected the gospel were called Lamanites and Lemuelites and Ishmaelites, and they did not dwindle in unbelief, but they did willfully rebel against the gospel of Christ. Now how could that happen? I just wonder. And they did teach their children that they should not believe as their fathers. From the beginning did dwindle. And it was because of the wickedness and the abominations of their fathers, even as it was in the beginning. And they were taught to hate the children of God, even as the Lamanites were taught to hate the children of the Nephites from the beginning. All these things took place. It's impossible for me to understand how. They had everything going for them, but yet they turned away. They knew the gospel. It said they didn't dwindle in belief. They just turned away from it and become wicked. What a terrible thing. But I want to read over here just a little bit in Luke. This is a little better. I enjoy this one here. Luke in the 12th chapter in the 31st verse says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God." And he had been preaching to them and telling them what they should do and what would happen and so on. It says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And another little promise here, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." But you've got to keep those commandments. And if we do that, then we can expect to have this kingdom given unto us. If we turn from it, we can lose the whole thing. But in these two books, it tells us what to do. And as time comes and the need comes, he would prophesy to us if we need to know something else. We know that he can do these things. And he will do them. But we have got to keep those commandments, and we've got to search these books. Thank you.
Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock we have prayer service. Turn to number 358 for closing. Shall we stand?